Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for all to see. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for you and me. For the children of the day.
Yes, and we're stacking stones on this Thursday evening, Thursday, October the 10th, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, I'm correct. It is the 10th of October, and this is Brother Brandon Teague coming to you on the Old Paths broadcast, coming to you live from the mothership right here in Paris, Texas, at Faith Baptist Church, and we're glad to be coming to you tonight over the internet. On Blog Talk Radio, this show, the Old Paths broadcast, dedicated and guaranteed to stay dedicated to the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Yes, I'm talking about, folks, the King James Bible, the Word of God, the absolute inerrant, absolutely, positively, 100% plenary inspired Word of God, cover to cover. I even believe the cover where it says holy. It's God's holy word, and I thank God that because I've heard the word of God, because I know the truth, I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. My sins have been washed away with his blood. I want to tell you tonight, folks, I want to tell you tonight, listen to me, because not because of anything that I've ever done, but because as a young man, as a young boy, I got into sin. I knew I was born a sinner, folks. I was born a sinner. We were all born sinners. But I want to tell you tonight that I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was lost. The Holy Spirit of God, because of the preaching of the Word of God and because of the witness of a Sunday school teacher, because of the witness of my faithful mother, I got under conviction of the Holy Ghost. He showed me my sin. He showed me what a sinner I was before God. And I got under conviction. I shuddered at the thought of hell was my punishment for my sins. I shuddered at the thought of what I had done before Almighty God. And I turned to repentance and I ran to the cross of Jesus Christ. And I fell down and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And he washed me clean in his blood. And I've been saved. And I'm going to be saved because of what Jesus has done for me. And I want to tell you how glad I am, what a joy it is to be saved tonight by the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I'm nothing, but I'm your host tonight, Brother Brandon Teague. And alongside me is my brother from another mother. He is he's a menace to some and a blessing to others. Amen. And I tell you, he's a strong warrior for truth. He is my good brother from north, from the state of Minnesota, Northfield to be exact. He's a street preacher. He's a preacher of righteousness. He is a man who calls other men to repentance in the open air. I have all the respect in the world for him. He's a good dad and a good husband and a great preacher. Brother Jason Cooley from the Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. Brother, are you there?
Amen, brother. It's good to be here with you tonight. And boy, so much going on in this world. And we've been having some nice weather down here. I don't know what it's been like where you're at, but we've been in the 60s where it's been in the low 60s and right around 60, 70 degrees for the last 2 weeks now. We've been really blessed with that. So I'm praising the Lord for this weather because I know the cold is coming soon.
Yes, sir. Oh, it's been nice here. It's been around 80 degrees, just a little bit lower sometimes, and we've had some nights in the 50s, and it's been awesome. I love this weather. You know, this is my favorite time of the year, and I don't know why, because I'm a gardener. I should love the spring, but for some reason, I guess it's the deer hunter in me. But I love the fall. I absolutely love the changing of the leaves. I love it when the wildlife begins to move. And we're having to dodge deer at night going home, and almost ran over a little fawn the other night. I can definitely tell they're on the move, and it just gets my blood going. Just thoughts of cold mornings, sitting in a folding chair underneath an oak tree, waiting on a big buck to step out. It gets me going, brother. I believe that's what God put into a man, that desire to go out and hunt and take something for his family.
Amen, brother. I'm excited about that season coming up too. I'm going to get out with my black powder gun here this next week here and get ready to go out and do some. I got a scope on it and get ready to do some practicing. And we can't use high powered rifles around here just because of all the houses and the closeness of everything. If I was up north farther, we could use that, but down here you can't use that. You know, so a black powder gun, a black powder 50 caliber with three of those powders and a those little power pellets there, it goes pretty far and it's pretty accurate.
Amen. Well, you'll have to come to Texas soon. And we'll put a 6 in your hand and just let you go at it.
Amen.
But anyway, amen. Well, anyway, let's get into this thing tonight, and we're going to get into this wake up segment. And I'm hoping you've got some information in front of you because it's been a scrambled night tonight, and I've been running around like a chicken with my head cut off. But hey, before we do that. Are there any? I've been thinking about this. This is a good opportunity, good platform to throw it out there. Are there any messages that you've preached lately that you'd like to mention tonight that you might want people to go on the sermonaudio.com and check out?
Well, yeah, there are a few that I've preached here recently that might be benefit to some folks if they're looking around and they're interested in finding out some things, kind of timely for this time of year. We may even, if you and I want to talk about this on one of the shows here, but one of those messages is on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on Sermon Audio. You can go to sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley and find us there, or Old Paths Baptist Church. You can find us. And that one right there on Halloween is very good. It explains from a Satanist position, from a witch's position, what Halloween really is. So they tell the truth about it. They'll
right.
tell you what it is. They're not some independent Baptist pastor out there that wants to keep you from Halloween. No, they're fine with you celebrating Halloween. They think it's funny that you celebrate a Devil's Day. They think it's hilarious that you do that. And they have more power to you. They want you to do that. So they're just telling you the truth about it. They're excited that you're doing it.
Amen. Well, praise God. Well, I tell you what, we got one that I just posted recently. I put it up on Facebook a little bit. I know a few people listen to it, but I just preached a sermon last Sunday morning on the dangers of country music, and I tell you, that is a subtle monster that lurks in a lot of people's lives, and especially down here in the South. I'm not sure how popular country music is the further north you go. But I know, there's rednecks in every state, so I know it affects people everywhere. But, I tell you, I preached it last Sunday morning, Brother Cooley, and you wouldn't believe the expressions on people's faces. Because I went and I downloaded the top 10 country songs last week. I downloaded the lyrics. And I went through and I highlighted a section of those lyrics, and I read from each of the top 10 country songs from the pulpit. You would have thought I was standing there cursing, people just shrieking back and like, stop, please, no more, no more. I said, no, I want to give you a good, strong dose. And so when you walk out of here, you want to turn that stupid radio on. And my dear mother, who's sitting on the fifth row or so, she told me on the way out the door, she said, I felt like I had somebody throwing garbage all over me the whole sermon. So anyway, if you want to look at our Blog Talk Radio page, Old Paths Broadcast page, the audio for that sermon, The Dangers of Country Music, is up there. Take time and listen to that. It'll help you. Don't get mad at me for telling you the truth, but it's up there. And also our Sunday morning messages. We're getting them up there. We've had some technical problems So I know some of them, if you've listened to them, there have been some technical issues. We're going to get that fixed, folks, and promise you that. We'll get those up and get them clear and everything. But anyway, it's something new. It's time for
Wake Up!
Amen.
Amen.
So like wake that. Up. Wake up. Amen. It's time for our wake up segment. And I want to start it off with a little song for all of you out there.
Oh, C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. Oh, cookie, cookie, cookie. Starts with C.
Yes, C is for cookie, and I want to say that today's Wake Up segment is brought to you by the letter C. C does not stand for Cookie Monster. C stands for corruption. C stands for the criminal in chief. C stands for cruelty. C stands for Congress. C stands for convoy. We'll talk about a few of those things. The reason I brought this C for Cookie and Cookie Monster up, it was brought to my attention this week that when this government shutdown started, and you said that you had read this as well. I don't have it in front of me, but there was a grant or there was some kind of a gift given. Wasn't it to the people that run the National Public Radio, NPR? It was also given to the people that run the Children's Television Network, PBS. And by default, then Cookie Monster and the whole Children's Television Network would have gotten some of that pie. And they wanted to make sure that the liberal media, and of course Sesame Street, we know, has been pushing the homosexual sodomite agenda for quite some time. But was that correct that they got $450 million just as the shutdown was beginning?
Yeah, they make sure they get, from what I understand from the article that was posted, they always get money. They get free money, and everybody was worried about, remember during the campaign, back in the campaign with Obama versus Mitt Romney, and the campaign was, they were talking about, they're worried about Romney defunding Sesame Street. I don't know if you remember that, but they said if Romney gets elected, there'll be no more Sesame Street. And Romney, and basically what the Republicans were saying was, well, Big Bird needs to pay for himself. That's what they're talking about. I find that Congress and all these guys, they get their little goodies through before everything happens and their games that they play.
Right. Now, we talked about, C being for convoy. And also some things that we've talked about as well is that there is a convoy that is supposed to take place. And I'm trying to figure out when this thing is supposed to take place. But I've saw some notices where people have said that, it's between October 11th, that's tomorrow, and the 13th. And there's been a call for a general strike asking truck drivers around the country to refuse to haul freight. And to make their way to Washington, D.C. in a massive convoy in an effort to call attention to the Benghazi cover-up and the recent attack, which killed 25 members of SEAL Team 6, the ever-rising fuel prices, and the claims that Obama is engaged in treasonous crimes. What's your take on this, brother? You think this is going to happen?
No, I don't really think so. I think they all play games. I think they're all on the same team. And I don't really think that any of them are going to do anything. I think Ron Paul had it right when he said that they'll end up finding a way to pacify everything and with all this. I mean, I honestly don't think the Republican Party, I don't think the Congress or the Senate has the guts enough to do anything. I think they're mostly on the same team. And I honestly don't think it's going to go anywhere. And I hope I'm wrong, and I hope it did. But what are our options? He's out and Biden's in. I mean,
yeah.
What do you got to look forward to there? You got one guy. You got one guy he reads off of a teleprompter. The other guy, he's like the crazy uncle that lives upstairs somewhere in your house. It's like the crazy loony perverted drunk. That's what he is. So do you want that guy running the country? We all know they don't run the country anyway. But do you want that to be the figurehead of the nation? I mean, we're in trouble. You know, we just are. You know.
Yep.
We're plain and simple. We ain't got nothing to look forward to when it comes to that. I mean, spiritually we always do, but when it comes to that, yeah, there's nothing to look forward to there. I don't see it going anywhere. I honestly don't. I see a bunch of games being played because, you know, your main characters don't want to do anything. Your John Boehners and your Mitch McConnells from the Senate, they don't want to do anything. They don't want to rock any boats. They're afraid to do really anything. I mean, the Speaker of the House is a very powerful position. If he wanted to, he could shut the whole country down and keep it down. But that's not going to happen because he doesn't have the guts to do it. He's less than Pelosi was a bigger man than he is.
Wow. Now there's a statement. Well, what about C is for cruelty? And we're looking at some things like you know, that, and again, somebody said that this shutdown is governing by tantrum. Governing by temper tantrum, and you know Obama's not getting his way, so he's causing pain and suffering on others. We've seen national parks shut down, we've seen monuments shut down, but one of the cruelest things that I think that I've seen, and by the way, let's not forget the denying the cancer research for children, and I saw that female reporter talking to Harry Reid. And saying, well, couldn't you at least, send a bill through that would put some money out for that so that kids with cancer could have research done, possibly find a cure for their cancer? And he said, well, why would we want to do that? Did you happen to see that clip?
Yeah, I read the article about it that was on there. I didn't see the clip, but I can believe it. He's a pig. I mean, let's just face it. This is about control. That's all it's about is control. He wants to run the agenda. He's being told what to do by the White House and through the powers that be that are behind the scenes that really control things. He is doing what his bidding is, and yeah, it is cruel. They're going to keep doing it. It's Harry Reid is dirty. Harry Reid is he's just a dirty, rotten politician is all he is, and. I think Boehner's the same. I think they're all the same. It's cruel what these people are doing. I think it's cruel for the president to do what he's doing with allowing illegal immigrants to march at the National Mall, but then telling the veterans of foreign wars that, you know, basically he's just telling them to go to hell. That's what he's telling them.
I don't care
about you. You go. I don't care about you. I am going to arrest you. I'm going to throw you in jail. And this is what I'm going to do. I mean, he says he's sick. They're all sick. They're just a bunch of sick, twisted weirdos.
Well, and another part of this cruelty is the death benefits for the slain soldiers or the families. How cruel is that? I mean, I'm not saying I support all these military skirmishes we're in around the world. I absolutely do not. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's criminal, a lot of it. And, for the most part, it's all violating our Constitution, every bit of it. Now, you know, a man chooses to go into the armed forces and a man chooses to go over there and lay his life on the line for something he doesn't even believe in, to make a paycheck for his family. I mean, he's risking his own life at his own peril. But his family, you can't blame his family, and they are guaranteed certain benefits. And for them to not be able to have those benefits, to have proper burial for their own family member who gives his life over there, that's ridiculous to me. I'm sorry, but that's cruel and unusual punishment to inflict on a family for an army that he's supposedly the commander-in-chief of. Your thoughts?
Does that make you want to fight for a nation? Does that make you want to fight under this president and be willing to give your life at his command and to go? No, of course not. It doesn't, and he doesn't care about anybody. The man is just twisted. He wants to make this as painful as possible. That's the message from the White House.
Yeah.
the message from the White House is was to make this as painful as possible. You do what we want you to do, and if you don't do exactly what we want you to do, we're going to make everybody suffer that we can. We're not going to suffer. Congress is still going to get its $200,000 a year. Each member of Congress is still going to get paid $200,000 a year or more. They're not going to lose any benefits. They don't have to be on Obamacare. They don't have to be under any of that. They're going to get their money, but the little old lady that's on Social Security, now she's not going to get anything. That old lady, she can too, like the veterans. She can go to hell just like the veterans can. That's what he's saying. I don't care about these people. I don't care if they paid the bills their whole life. I don't care if I ripped them off and stole their money and everything else. We'll make sure we get paid. We'll live in a big mansion. We'll be taken care of, but everybody else can starve. That's an elitist mentality. That's all it is. It's a devilish elitist mentality.
Right. People better wake up. I mean, I tell you, I don't know how people aren't awake now. I really don't. It blows my mind. You know, I don't know whether you happen to see it or not. I know you're familiar with Mark Dice and the videos that he has posted of going out on the boardwalk, I guess out in San Francisco, and asking. I mean, the first one I ever saw, he had a Canadian gold coin. It was 1 ounce of gold, and he was trying to get people to. I can't remember how much he was offering, but he wanted to sell them that for $5, something like that, and nobody would take him up on it. And then he did another video where he asked what political party that Obama was associated with, and no one could tell him. And then he had a petition where he wanted to see if people would sign the petition to get rid of the Bill of Rights, and people were just glad to sign it. But anyway, there's been one that came out this week that was done down in Austin, Texas, by Infowars.com, and they were asking for petitions to be signed to have a law in Austin, Texas, that people wear helmets when walking. And just person after person after person was willing to sign a petition to bring a city ordinance in. I know it was fake, but still, they brought it to have a city ordinance where you had to wear a helmet to walk down the sidewalk, because so many people now are on Facebook, and they were saying, you know, that we should have that so people don't just walk into each other's in their zombie walks looking at their cell phones. Now, that's the kind of mentality that a lot of citizens on the street have, and I'm hoping the people that tune in to this program have got enough sense to have their eyes open and their heads out of the sand, but folks, it's appalling what people don't pay attention to.
That's right, brother. It is appalling, and people are walking around in a daze, and as long as they can, you know, have bread and circuses, cheap food and entertainment, they're fine, and that's where most of America is. The Christians have been reduced to their pastor telling them the best thing you can do is just go soul winning, and that's all you need to do. They don't know anything about their Bibles. They don't know how a government's supposed to operate. They're clueless.
Right. And that is true, brother. It is very true. And myself, I having gone to an independent Baptist Bible college, I know what you're saying is absolutely 100% right. I've heard it said over and over. I've heard it from the lips of Jack Hiles himself. I sat there and listened to him preach on numerous occasions that soul winning will fix the majority of your problems. And let me just make it clear. Hey, I'm not against witnessing to people. I'm not against trying to lead people to Jesus. I'm 100% for that. But they have got to understand the gospel. The Holy Spirit of God has to draw them. Listen, you can't force anybody to get saved. You can't push anybody to get saved. You can tell them how to be saved, and the Holy Ghost of God draw them to be saved. But it's ultimately something God is going to work in their souls as they have understanding and Holy Spirit of God draws them. But my friends, listen to me. Just getting out and going around knocking on doors and trying to get people to say a prayer is not going to fix all your ills. those ills are still going to be there. God doesn't just wave a magic wand because you went out and knocked a few doors and now all your family problems are going to be fixed. He's right. He's 100% right. It's a Band-Aid to stick over everything in order to build their Bible colleges and their big auditoriums.
Amen, brother. That's exactly true.
And meanwhile, you dry up on the vine while they get bigger and bigger and bigger and write more books. It is. It's enough to make me. It's corporate Christianity, and it makes me sick. But anyway, having said all that, folks need to wake up. They need to realize what's going on around them. I mean, yeah, you start messing. I'll be honest with you, and we talked about this a little bit, but I'm afraid that we're getting close now to the tipping point in America. You know, Obama is a hated man. He's not just disliked. He's a hated man. And the more of these Nazi tactics, and I will say it, yes, it's Nazi tactics that he is putting on the American public. And he is playing dictator from his little ivory throne in Washington, D.C. And the more of these painful things that he inflicts upon the American people, the more people are getting sick of it. The more that they ruin our food, the more people are getting sick of it. The more that they ruin our water, the more people are getting sick of it. The more they tax us to death and ruin our money and listen and try to push freedom of speech, the freedom of religion into a box that they control, the more people are getting sick of it. And I'm going to tell you, it's getting to the tipping point to where he's you know, like we said, cutting Social Security, you can mess with a lot of things. But when you mess with some old redneck or some old biker or some old trucker's mama, I'm telling you, you are in trouble. I'm going to tell you, you do a lot of things, but don't mess with your mama. You start messing with your mama, you're in trouble. And Obama must not have had much of a relationship with his mama, so he don't understand that very much. Of course, I'm not going to say a whole lot about his mama to begin with. But anyway, I'm afraid, brother, I'm afraid that we are coming close to the end of America. You've got that African American black, whatever you want to call her. She's a senator or a congresswoman Jackson.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Coming out calling for martial law, and I'm telling you, folks ain't gonna put up with this, and it's gonna be a battle. And I really rue the day. I'm not looking forward to this. It's not that I want to go to battle, and I'm not going to battle. I'm gonna sit at home and defend my family. But I'm telling you, the days are coming. The days are coming. You better go buy you some mason jars. You better start putting up some peas and some potatoes and some vegetables. You better start storing you some water, and you better start looking for the Lord. You better start making sure you got your ammo dry, because I'm telling you, the day's coming, and there's going to be a lot of people unprepared.
Yeah, you know, when you start to look around at things, you got a congresswoman that says, let's go ahead and just have martial law, and then Obama can do whatever he wants to do. You know, what that's saying is that I don't care what the American people think.
Mm-hmm.
We'll tell you what to do, America. You don't tell us what to do, even though in America, the highest form of law in the land are the people. You know, the Constitution is the written law, and we don't have a dictator here. We're not supposed to have a dictator, and we're not supposed to have these elitists that are here that are basically controlling everything now. So, yeah, it's going to get worse, that's for sure. It's not going to get any better. As we see the end times rolling on here, it's going to get real thick.
Yes, it is. Well, I'll tell you what, brother, it's time for our first break. So we're going to take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll do something on the other side. Not sure what. We'll talk about it here in a minute. But anyway, as we go to break, tonight's music is furnished to us by the Seminole String Band from Seminole, Alabama. Brother Mick Norton and his family, a godly group, and they love the Lord. They preach the gospel, and they certainly get out on the street corner, street preach, call men to repentance. They're a good, godly family, and they travel for the Lord. So let's listen to them tonight. Song's called Give Me a Burden, And it's the Seminole String Band on the Old Paths broadcast. We'll be back in just a moment. All right, and we're back here on the Old Paths broadcast. That it was the Seminole String Band, and Give Me a Burden. Give me a burden for them, just like you had for me. And we ought to all have a burden for the lost people around us. And that's why, listen, folks, it's not enough just to go to church on Sunday. It's not enough just to go to Sunday school and sing and put a little bit of coin in the offering plate. I'm telling you, being a Christian is what you do Sunday to Sunday, not just what you do on Sunday. And, you know, God needs some people to, for his name's sake, people who will lift up Christ all week long, people who will speak up against Satan's works, people who will speak up and speak the words of God and live them. And that's what we need to be. We need to be living, breathing testimonies to what Christ has done for us. All right, brother, well, let's get back. Let me give the call-in number so folks can have it, and maybe they want to be thinking about calling in tonight. Matter of fact, I'm just going to go ahead and remind folks of what we'll be talking about here in just a little bit. Tonight's show is an extension of the one we did 2 weeks ago. Of course, last week here at Faith Baptist Church, we had Brother Darrell Weaver, an evangelist friend of mine from Midville, Georgia, and Brother Darrell was here with us all week long and preached some tremendous messages. And we've got those uploaded onto our Blog Talk channel. If you'd like to hear those services of our revival week, they're very good. And be a blessing to you and your family if you want to sit and listen to some good preaching. And but anyway, 2 weeks ago, you and I sat and discussed aliens. And not the ones who come across the border and swim across or whatnot, but real, sure enough, aliens. And we talked about the fact that Hollywood had has portrayed these little gray men or little green men before that, but that honestly, we're talking about spirits. We're talking about demonic spirits from the spirit world. And we talked about Aleister Crowley and his lamb, the little spirit whatever called demonic spirit that communicated with him, that he drew a picture of that looked a lot like these little gray men. And we got into a lot of that, but we're going to get back into that whole frame of mind and talking about tonight UFOs and the Bible. And are there UFOs mentioned in the Bible? And it'll really be surprising to a lot of people to find out what the Bible has to say on the subject. And listen, you can't go to Hollywood for answers, and you certainly can't go to the government for answers. You can't go to the military for answers. The only place to really go for true answers is the Bible. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the program after we talk a little more on our wake-up segment. But anyway, let me give that phone number for folks to write down. If you got a piece of paper, jot it down or type it into something. The number is 646-915-9266. That's 646-915-9266. We're not taking any calls at the moment, but we'll open up the phone calls once we get into tonight's program. But anyway, let's get back into it. And we started the wake-up segment with Cookie Monster singing C is for Cookie, and we're going to continue that idea of C being the letter for tonight's show, and we talked about a convoy. C is for convoy, and I've got right in front of me an article from the International Business Times, and the headlines read, Truckers Ride for the Constitution. Why are these truckers planning tomorrow? Starting tomorrow, they're planning, I think, for 3 days. They're planning a exhibition of civil disobedience. And, well, I think it's a lot to do with just a deep, deep-seated hatred for what Obama is doing to our nation. And, you know, you talk about American spirit, and now, I'm not saying all truckers are to be venerated as some kind of heroes, but you know what? If it weren't for those men that run up down the highways and hauling freight from one place to another, this country would shut down. And they just want people to recognize and realize that you know what? A lot of what they do is the backbone of the country. It's not the lawmakers in Washington, D.C. But anyway, let me just read a little bit from this article, brother. And it says, at first glance, the demands being made by a group of truck drivers who are reportedly planning to descend on Washington this weekend seem rooted in well-founded anger. Like most Americans, the group is calling itself Truckers Ride for the Constitution is incensed by an increasingly dysfunctional government. Its members appear to see the U.S. government shutdown as the last straw, and a lot of people would agree that it is. On their list of grievances, the truckers say they want, among other things, lower fuel prices and higher wages. They want deregulation of the trucking industry, and they want the government restored. Simply put, they want politicians to honor the U.S. Constitution and do their jobs, and who doesn't? So far, it all sounds like good old-fashioned civil disobedience, except that the trucker protest itself has little to do with the trucking industry and even less to do with healthy dissent. Beneath all the talk of hardworking truck drivers fed up with the government overreach lies a fringe movement of blind civil unrest, one fueled by a small group of angry white people. Now, this is a slanted article. I didn't get that far into it. So evidently this article is written to try to slant a bunch of white truckers.
If you know anything about the Washington Post, I've had a little bit of experience of reading their articles, and I'm glad you read from their point of view, because I think it's funny. It shows how fascist they are. It shows how absolutely taken by the administration and controlled as they are. These are people. They're not angry white people because they don't like black people. These are, you know how many people are white, black, Hispanic, whatever color that drive trucks, they're everywhere. It's not one group of people that drive a truck. It's all of America that have truck drivers in my church. These are hardworking men that are and women that are tired of being taken down the road by regulations. And their fuel costs are just, they're ridiculous. And then you shut the government down. You make their job even harder. You take away their wages. You make them, you know, no man likes to be over the road away from his family anyway.
Right.
But if he's over the road away from his family, he'd like to make some money doing it. He would like to be able to be take care of his family doing it, not have to work three times as hard because you got a bunch of idiots up in Washington, D.C. that can't balance a checkbook.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm getting a little excited, brother. I just get sick and tired of this garbage. It's over and over, week after week after week after week. These people are being voted back in that all they do is take advantage of people. All they are doing is taking advantage of Americans, and they pick on the people that work the hardest. That's who they pick on.
That's right. You're absolutely right. And, you know, I'm afraid of what's going to happen, you know, if this does take place. I think it's going to cause a major freakout in our nation. We're going to get a little taste. You know, grocery store shelves go bare and gas stations run out and people can't get clean drinking water. You know, it's going to cause folks to shudder. And it, you know, as much as I kind of stand back and say, you know, go for it, guys. And on the other hand, it's going to have the potential for these nuts in Washington to bring in martial law.
Well, that's the other thing. What's really going on here is that the reason why the president is arresting veterans is placing himself against these people and all this stuff. The reason he's doing this is because he wants to incite a riot. Mm-hmm. He wants people to become unrested. He wants. I mean, look at what the Sheila is. It Sheila Jackson or whatever his name is.
Sheila Jackson Lee or something.
Yeah, she just said, "Hey, listen, Obama just needs to declare martial law." And you know that looks good for the only black president America's ever had. Just go ahead and turn him into an absolute diabolical Nimrod dictator. That's a great thing, isn't it? Isn't that wonderful? I could think of a lot of other black people that would have been better presidents than this guy. I mean, how about Alan West? How about anybody else that has the guts and fortitude to stand up and do what's right and to say some right things? No, I don't agree with everything the other men say, but the point is that they would at least be a man and stand up and make the decisions that a man makes. I mean, this is like a spoiled brat.
Mm-hmm.
It's all this is a spoiled brat that's not getting his way, that's taking his marbles, and he's going home to, by the way, not his house, our house.
Right.
It's our house. It's America's house. It does not belong to the President of the United States.
Well, let me ask you this. We haven't even talked about the elephant in the room. What about Obamacare?
Oh, my. Well, brother, it's an absolute disaster is what it is.
What timing? It almost sounded like a thought appeared. I heard that.
You know, did you hear that timer go off?
Yeah, I heard that timer.
Yeah, I was on my phone. It wasn't muted. It just, ding, it just went off. you know, I'll tell you what's really funny about it is that Obamacare is the elephant in the room that is going to bring the house down. That's exactly – it's the bull in the China house that's going to tear the whole house down. This bill will not work. Now, I want to clarify – I'm glad you mentioned it because I would like to clarify something about this. Judge Napolitano has a great video out about this, but just to clarify this, this demonization of the house of – the House because they don't want to fund Obamacare and part of the Senate that says no, Rand Paul and a few others, they're saying, oh, well, this is illegal, this is strong arming. No, this is the complete power and authority that the House holds. There are two ways that a bill gets enacted. The first way is that it's voted through the House, the Senate, and it's signed by the President.
Mm-hmm.
But the second way that bill takes force is that a future Congress votes the funds for that bill. this is how a future Congress is not forced to follow a bill from another Congress forever. They can look at this. The Congress has the authority. This way the Constitution was written, the Congress has the authority to look at this, and they could say, you know what, I know that other House voted for this, and that's wonderful, but here's the problem. We ain't got the money for it.
Right.
So we can't put it through. We
Amen.
Are going to have to stop it. So mm-hmm. we need to be together. We need to re-vote about this. We need to put an amendment through. We can't afford this, and we're not going to fund it because we don't have the money. That's how reality works. It's how
right.
it works with your book. It's how it works with everything that you and I do. But in government, they just print fiat money, invisible. They make invisible credit and printed money that means nothing, that is worth nothing, to try to pass something through and to keep it going and say, well, see, we can fund it. No, you can't. We can't even afford it.
Right. Well, I mean, I've also heard of stories of people trying to sign up for it and finding and seeing how much it's going to cost and then trying to back out and then being harassed and having their bank accounts threatened to be taken and their homes threatened to be foreclosed on. Have you heard any of this stuff?
Yes. I haven't heard that they're houses, but what I have heard is that let's talk about what we know for sure, okay? Here's one that
right.
we know for sure. You want to hear a horror story? Here's a true horror story. One family just got told, after they punched in the numbers and they sent it through Obamacare, guess what Obamacare told them? $10,000 higher is what you're going to have to pay for insurance.
Wow.
Now, tell me something. You think that guy can afford that? You think that man can afford that? If he could, he'd have other insurance. It's just ridiculous.
Right.
But you want to hear another thing that I find very funny, which
What's
is going to prove that I'm almost at the point where I think they should let this slide through and watch what happens. And here's the reason why. Five people in Iowa signed up. Only five.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand that?
Exactly.
Five people. Do you know what that means? That means that program can't sustain itself.
Right.
It can't. It won't sustain itself. It's going to fall. It's going to fall, and these politicians are going to be forced to do it. I really believe that Obama is holding on to this program so hard because it's the only thing that he's ever done. It's
mm-hmm.
proven that he didn't even kill Osama bin Laden. I mean, for in all points and purposes, it's proven that that's just a big show. I mean, why did the whole team SEAL Team 6 die? You know, this is just getting preposterous. But if you study that a little bit, you'll see. He hasn't done
yeah.
anything except spent double the debt is all that he's done, Brother Brandon. All he's done is double the debt since he's been in office. He has been like a gangster with a credit card, playing rap music, buying drugs, and partying. That's what he's been.
That's exactly right. And let's just be honest. That's what he is. He's a thug.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, to get street on him, you know, I mean, he disses the Marine that stands by the helicopter when he goes to get on. you know, I mean, and all he does is play golf. Close all the national parks except for the one that has his golf course on it.
I mean, really, can you think of anything more sick than that, honestly? I mean, listen, I'm not stuck in a right-left paradigm. I understand they're all crooked, okay?
Mm-hmm.
99% of them are crooked. I had somebody ask me that the other day, do you really believe that Congress is full of a bunch of devil-possessed people? I said, well, if they ain't born again by the Spirit of God, there's only two spirits in this world. There's the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the spirit, and then there's the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
That's right.
Okay, so there's two spirits. So if you're not born again by the Spirit of God with the Holy Ghost of God inside of you, then you're lost and you're led by the devil. That's pretty plain and simple, isn't it?
That spells it out right there, brother. And I can guarantee you the majority of them, for the most part, are as wicked and lost as can be. You know, I don't think you get into politics. You don't get into politics unless you've got some agenda, hidden agendas, unless you've got some aspirations and dreams that kind of come from greed and covetousness, unless you do it out of nobility to try to make a difference in the world. And if so, you are going to be run through the mill. And, you know, I honestly don't trust any of them. I have some respect for some because of what I've seen them do. But how do I even know that they are honest? How do I even know that once, say they got into a higher office, how do I know that they wouldn't be corrupted as well? I really don't know who to trust anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, I see a few. You know, even I like the senator from Texas, from your home state there, but you know his. From what I understand, his wife is connected to the CFR.
Mm-hmm. Ted Cruz, is that you talking about?
Yeah, he's a member. I think she's a member of the CFR. You know, so
I wouldn't be surprised.
You know,
when he was running down here, he was running against a man named Edwin Cain, and when he was running for the Senate, and there was a lot of talk about him selling out. Oh, it had to do with communist China selling out some country, some company, or something to the Chinese for cheaper wages. I mean, he's got some New World Order ties. You don't get into where he's at without some New World Order ties.
As I see the way things are going, it's tough to find an honest politician if there is one. I mean. I guess what we're looking for, brother, are statesmen. That's what we're looking for. Men that aren't politicians, but statesmen. I think you had men like Davy Crockett who were statesmen.
Yeah, I think the day of Davy Crockett is come and gone, brother. I really do. And it's a sad reality.
Yeah, I think you're right, brother. That is the way it is. And but you know what? All these things must come to pass, brother. Take heart. You know, we're never the hopeless ones. We just don't believe in the America will rise again. We know understand by the Masonic order that the Phoenix will rise again.
Right.
You know, the Phoenix will rise out of the ashes. You know, will the Phoenix rise? But we know that what God wrought in America is going to come to an end in these end times. It is. And, you know, I take heart in that because I know God's word is true. And God told us about all these things. Listen, folks, all this is in the word of God. God warned us this was coming. And I can just thank the Lord because I got a King James Bible and all the answers are in it.
Right. And, you know, and I take heart. I look around. I used to look around, brother, and I used to get that Elijah complex. You know, I used to get that, you know, I'm the only one left. But since we've been doing this radio broadcast, I'm encouraged. I really am. I'm encouraged by the amount of listeners that we're getting. I'm encouraged by men like yourself, like David Ickes, like, you know, Butch Crawford, Wally Langford. You know, men like the preachers I know down around the South, the Amen. Mark Wheelers, you know, I mean, I'm encouraged. There are men of God, the Tino Gropies and, you know, the men that I've met through you on Facebook, there are men in a lot of places that still stand for what's right. You know, I'm excited when I see their testimonies, and I see them stand for truth. And, it takes a small little rudder to turn a big ship. And there's still a small remnant of gospel preachers in America who have not sold out to the corporate church. And I'm excited about that. And
Amen, brother. Hey, can I don't want to interrupt you, brother, but before I forget, because I know we're going to get, you and I are going to get hot and heavy into this other topic here after the break, but I want to encourage, if there's any preachers out there, that pastors that are out there, evangelists that are out there, that could make it to Michigan, Brother David Ickes and myself and Brother Tino and a few of the other, we call it biblical evangelism. It's called street preaching, but we want to return it to its natural or its biblical name of biblical evangelism. But Brother Gropey and I and the others, we're going to be over at Gateway Anabaptist. I think it's October 27th. I'm going to get in town Monday. It's going to be a Monday and Tuesday conference there on biblical evangelism and street preaching. And I look forward to being there. And if there's any pastors out there listening that want to get out there and preach the gospel and preach the law, as a schoolmaster to bring people to Christ and call men to repentance. We know the law doesn't save anybody. We know the law won't save a man, but we preach that as a schoolmaster to bring men to Christ and to call men to repentance in the open air. And if there's any preachers or any men that get out and preach and want to learn how to preach and want to learn some things, got to come out to that meeting there that Gateway Anabaptist is having, and Brother Ickes and Brother Dan Harden and those good folks over there. And I'm looking forward to seeing Tino there and a few others and it being a blessing to us. But I wanted to announce that, and I'll probably say something about it again next week. And Brother Brandon, I know you got a lot going on. I wish you could come. That'd be a blessing.
Well, I'd love to, brother, but it'd take a lot to get me up north of here. But I mean I have no problem. I've been to Minnesota. I've been actually right in your neck of the woods. But it would probably take a lot to get me pried loose. I've got so much going on right now. But I would urge men to go to that. And I know that that's a good group of brethren. And the more of us that get together. And another thing too, these Baptist history tours. I want to plug them too. I know nobody's paying for this program. We don't have any sponsors, but I do want to plug that. There are some really good Baptist history tours, and whether you would want to go with one or the other, there's Brother Ted Alexander does a real good one. Brother Jeff Faggart does a real good one. No matter which one that you would fall in better with, I would urge you, if you're a Baptist preacher and you want to find out about the roots and history, of what we have here in America, how it got here, and what we had to go through to have it, and the struggles, and how our nation was formed and founded upon Baptist principles. And it really truly was. Our Bill of Rights was founded upon Baptist principles. I would urge you to get online and get on Google or Bing or whatever search engine you use and type in Baptist History Tours. And if you're able to get on one, I urge you to go to one and find out and learn about it. We had Brother James Beller on here not too long ago, and we need to have him on again, brother.
Well, we need to pray for Brother Beller. I should mention this too. I forgot to mention it. Brother Beller is very ill. Brother Beller needs a transplant, a kidney transplant. If he doesn't get it, it could be fatal for him.
Wow.
He is on dialysis like four or five times a day now. And he's very weak, and he can only preach I think he's only preaching on Sunday. So we need to be in constant prayer for Brother Beller that God would strengthen him and help him. We definitely don't want to lose him. Two of the greatest books that have been written in the last 50 years, in my opinion, American Crimson Red and Sacred Betrayal, two books that every Baptist should have and people that are inspired by the liberty-minded folks should have as well. But pray for Brother Beller. He's very, very ill. And, in fact, I preached a meeting because he couldn't make it down here at a church in Windom, Minnesota, because Brother Beller couldn't make it. And I would have rather heard Brother Beller preach. He's a wonderful preacher and a man that loves the Lord. So just pray for him and his family and pray that he gets a transplant and the Lord gives him many years here. I'd love to see some more writings from him. They're very powerful, and his understanding of it is great, and it's very needed in this time of people being separated from all kinds of their roots, and it's really pray for him if you would think about it, James Beller. Pray for Pastor James Beller.
Amen. Well, brother, let's do that. We'll do that. Let's lift him up right now in prayer, and then we're going to take a break. Father in heaven, Lord, we do lift up Brother Beller. And, Lord, you know right where he's at. You know right what he's going through. And, Father, we know you're able to heal. Lord, the Bible tells us time and time again when Jesus healed. And Lord, we know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you ask us to come boldly to the throne of grace. And we're coming tonight united in prayer. Lord, brothers in Christ praying around this country, Lord, tonight for Beller. And we ask you to touch his body right now. We ask you to give him healing and the strength that he needs. Lord God, I pray, Father, if it's not direct healing, Lord, pray provide a donor. And, Lord, that he would be able to get that kidney transplant. Lord, we just ask you, please, to work a miracle in his life. And, Lord, we know he'll give you the honor and the glory, which you deserve. And Father, we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, brother, let's take a break. We're going to have another one from the Seminole String Band. And this one's a great, great song written by Shelby, the oldest daughter of the group. And it's a song about purity. It's a song about waiting for the Lord and waiting on the Lord to send the right mate and not going for this world's way of dating. And it's a good one for young people. If you got young people at home, y'all turn it up loud and let them hear it. It's a song called Lord, I'll Wait for You. Seminole String Band on the Old Paths broadcast. We'll be right back.
Doing things your way is never.
Amen. Lord, I'll wait for you. Great, great, powerful message in that song. And I tell you, our young people today need to take heed to that and not let this world push them on and push them into things and situations. Because I tell you, folks, you rush into something, you don't let the Lord lead you to the right mate. You know, the divorce rate in America speaks for itself. And, you know, if God's not in the center of your marriage is already in trouble. So make sure it starts out right with God, and it'll last. So anyway, Lord, I'll wait for you, the Seminole String Band. All right, we're going to get into tonight's show, Brother Cooley. We're going to get into tonight's show, and I'm going to give out that call-in number one more time. And we're going to talk tonight about UFOs and the King James Bible. The call-in number tonight, if you'd like to call in, be on the show with us. The number is 646-915-9266. 646-915-9266. Now, let me say this before we get any further. I'm not asking for people out in trailer park somewhere to call in and tell me how they seen one over their trailer. Okay? Let's make that extremely clear. We're not asking for UFO sighting call-ins tonight. Brother Cooley.
Hey, Ben. You know, I want you to understand something as we get started. I don't discount what people say, you know, about that. There are millions of people out there that have, you know, thousands of people out there across the country over the last, you know, since the 1950s or even further back than that, since the 1900s, that have said that they saw things in the sky and they didn't know what they were. Well, I want to show you some scriptures tonight that we talked about the fourth dimension before, and we talked about.
Why don't we clarify what that fourth dimension is, just so people that maybe didn't hear the last show understand a little bit about it.
Well, the last show, the Bible talks about the height. It talks about you know, a different dimension, a fourth dimension, and the Bible says, you know, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It lists four things that we wrestle against. Scientists understand that there are four dimensions. They understand that a fourth-dimensional object is not bound by three-dimensional space. What they don't know, they don't know what it is, though. So they just call those things that. But Aleister Crowley and others back in that time reached a spiritual world, which is a fourth dimension. They reached, it doesn't have to be necessarily high up in the sky, but it's another dimension that they had reached, that the Bible calls the height, in some places. But they reached that dimension, and Aleister Crowley contacted a devil known as Lamb, and they made contact with it. Well, some folks have said ever since that time period that they have saw different things in the sky, different things that move in directions that nothing in this world can move in. What they're saying is it's not bound by that direction. It's not bound by a third dimension. These things move as a light, and they're gone. They move extremely fast. Well, I happen to believe that I can reasonably give you some understanding from the scriptures. I'm not asking you to believe what I say tonight. I'm asking you to study it out and to take a look at it and to go take your King James Bible out, go over some of these verses, and judge for yourself. There's something here, though, I can tell you. There's something that people are seeing. I don't believe everybody's just a bunch of morons or just a bunch of idiots or just a bunch of druggies or anything like that. These folks are seeing something. I believe they're part of the signs and wonders that the Bible talked about in the end times. I believe they're part of a satanic deception. That's what I believe that they're a part of. Now, again, if you disagree with me, this is not one of those doctrinal divisions that we may, you don't believe in what I'm talking about here, or you think I'm wrong, that's okay. It's not something I'm going to sit and argue about. I'm going to provide some information, have you take a look at it from the scriptures, pray about it, and go from there.
Amen.
You know, I hope that makes sense, Brother Brandon. I hope I'm coming across right.
Right. We're not going to divide and say, okay, well, you're not in my camp. We're not into that kind of thing.
No, we're not. We just want to provide it. Yep, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've got you've got all kinds out there, and there are all kind. I want to say this. For those who are not independent Baptists, understand something. There's something in that word, independent. That simply means there are every kind that you can imagine out there. And this is not just absolutely strictly an independent Baptist radio show, although most of the people who've called in and we've had on are independent Baptists. But I want you to understand, if you're listening to this program tonight, just because Brother Cooley and I are talking tonight about UFOs does not mean we have a UFO cult started. It does not mean that we are Ruckmanites. It does not mean we are Heilsites. It does not mean that we are any of those ites out there. Listen, that's the joy of being an independent Baptist. We don't have to line up with any man. We believe in the priesthood of the believer. That's one of the great Baptist doctrines. And thank God for that. Amen.
Amen, brother. Well, let's get into some scripture. Just turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 104. And I want you to think of something. I want you to think of the chariots of the Lord. That's what I want you to think about as we look at this. Because I think I'm going to show you some things that even if you don't believe what I'm going to show you here as far as, oh, those aren't UFOs or whatever, what you're going to do is you're going to see some things in scripture that I would venture to say you've never looked at before. So Psalm 104, verse number 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great, thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot. Okay, so God says that he makes his clouds his chariot. So remember that word. Remember that word. Remember that thought here. Who walketh upon the wings of the wind. Now I want you to turn your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 2, verse number 11. Now we're clearly seeing a fourth dimensional situation here because, I mean, he's walking on the wings. He's walking on the clouds or his chariot. Now we understand that God is not bound. But there's something that's going to come into play here in a few minutes that's going to make some sense.
All right.
In Second Kings chapter 2 and verse number 11, and it came to pass as they still went on and talked that behold there appeared a chariot of fire. Now think about that. There's a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Boy, do a scriptural study sometime of a whirlwind. Of God and whirlwinds and just whirlwinds in Scripture, you'll be amazed by what you find out. But anyway, God went up by, it says Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. So we're seeing here another story in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse number 15. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah.
Right.
Now, what I believe that he just saw, what the scripture says he just saw, was chariots. Why didn't he see him before?
Right.
Because they were in another dimension. That's why.
Right.
He couldn't see him.
They were from the spiritual realm.
That's right. And isn't it fascinating that when we start talking about the spiritual realm or the fourth dimension, we see these chariots?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we see chariots again? All right, that's going to be important. And Elijah said unto them, this is not the way. Okay, so Elijah directs them, and we don't have time to go through all those verses, really. But they saw the chariots. They saw the flaming fire. So what do we have so far? In all these verses so far, we have fire, and we have chariots.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, isn't it? Now, Psalm chapter 68 and verse number 17. this verse is fascinating. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Now, think about this for a minute, what he just said. Brother Brandon, I want you to read that verse. Do you have that in front of you right there? I want you to read that verse.
Which
again.
Verse is it? Psalm 68:17?
Psalm 68. Yep. Read that again for
okay.
me.
Okay. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place.
Now, Brother Brandon, what did the Lord say that chariots were right there?
Are you talking about earlier, what we read?
No, right in that verse, what did he just say those chariots were?
Thousands of angels.
Isn't that something? God said that. Now, we understand that God has chariots. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. So we see here that there's chariots of God, and that there's fire, there's chariots of God, and the chariots of God are angels, who walketh upon the wings of the wind.
Yep.
Interesting, isn't it?
It is.
What we see here when we start to study this word chariots out, what we start to see is there's a pattern forming here. We have fire, we have chariots, we have angels.
Mm-hmm.
We have walking upon the wings of the wind, which means what? That they're not bound by anything?
Right.
So, Brother Brandon, if I looked up in the sky and I saw something that was walking upon the wings of the wind, but wasn't subject, the chariots of the Lord or the clouds and the angels that are in the chariots of the Lord right there, that they're not bound by anything.
Right. Gravity doesn't have any hold.
Right. They're able to move at a whim. They're just able to move, and they're out of there. They're in, they're out. They're in, they're out. And we hear of people all over the world through time here, through the last 100 years especially, that have talked about seeing these things in the sky, seeing something in the sky. I'm not saying, word for word they're saying this. What I'm saying is God is saying this is what they are.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying what his chariots are. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse number 15. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. I think it's interesting here that he says here, he talks about the chariots again, he talks about the fire again, and he talks about this end times where God is going to send these chariots, and he's going to rebuke with flames the fire. He's going to rebuke them with flames of fire, with his fury, mm-hmm. with his anger. So these appearing are part of a judgment that's to come. Now, I want you all, we're going to talk about it later, but remember that God said in these end times that strong delusion shall come, that apostasy shall come, that strong delusion shall come, that signs and wonders shall come in these end times, that these things will come to pass. I mean, can any of us really say that we don't see a rise in occultic behavior in the world today?
Yeah, that's true.
It's here, brother. This occultic behavior is here. I mean, it's unbelievable how many people are into yoga. They're into spiritism. The churches are full of the sexualization from the pulpit. Pastors telling people that God wants ladies to sleep with the pastor and all kinds of things. This is all occultic, wicked behavior.
That's right.
And it's very powerful in these end times that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah chapter 4, verse number 13. Behold, he shall come up as clouds, and his chariot shall be as a whirlwind. There's it there again. We see a whirlwind. We see fire. We see chariots. We see angels.
Right.
Behold, he shall come up as clouds, and his chariot shall be as a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled.
Right. So I guess what you're saying is, if God moves, he says he comes and he rides upon these angels, and these angelic beings from another world can move across the sky without any effect of this world having any effect on them. I mean, are we saying that perhaps that fallen angels move as well in the very same manner because they are still truly angels?
Yes, because what we're going to see in a few minutes here, what we're going to see is there's a certain class of angels that the Bible talks about that did this. There's a certain class of them, and these angels are the ones that have the ability to do this. And I believe once you find out what this group is and this class is, then you're going to find out what's behind this satanic deception and what's really going on here. No, they're not aliens and UFOs. They're chariots of another dimension, and they're devilish in this. All right, turn
okay.
to Zechariah chapter 6. We got plenty of time before our break, brother?
Let's see. We've got about 7 minutes.
Okay, good. I can get into this into Zechariah here before
okay.
we go to break. Zechariah chapter 6 and verse number 1. And I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains. And the mountains were mountains of brass. In the first chariot were red horses. And in the second chariot, black horses. And in the third chariot, white horses. And in the fourth chariot, grizzled and bay horses. Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, what are these, my lord? Now listen. And the angel answered and said unto me, these are the four spirits of the heavens. So stop for a second here and let's look. We have four chariots. We have the white horses. We understand the horses are the spirits, the chariots. The horses of the chariots that run the chariots are the angels, okay? So he says this again. He says that they are four spirits.
Right.
These are the four spirits of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth.
Right.
And they had breastplates as it were. Well, wait, let me stop there for a second here before I get into that, because that's Revelation chapter 9. But these four spirits are standing before the God of heaven. They are standing before the Lord of all the earth. Now in Revelation chapter 9 and verse number 9, there's some talk of some chariots. But, you know, there's some talk about some angels that actually stand before God, a group of angels, a specific group of angels. That stand before God. And we're going to talk about those when we come back from the break here. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 7 says, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. So we have angels, we have spirits, we have these angels that are spirits, that are ministers, a flame of fire. We have chariots. We have the horses, we have the chariots of the Lord, even our 10,000 angels. And in the book of Nahum, chapter 3, the Bible discusses jumping chariots. Talks about some jumping chariots, which I find fascinating. When we come back from the break, we're going to look at the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, about a group of angels. Then we're going to look at the book of Ezekiel. And we're going to look at two different types of angels. We're going to look at some seraphims, and we're going to look at some cherubims. And then we're going to narrow this study down to figure out which group of angels do these things, which group of angels ride like this, and which group of angels are in the heavens like that and show these signs and wonders and are the chariots of God. We're going to look at those angels and see which ones they are and be able to see from Scripture that something goes on in the heavens and something goes on in that fourth dimension, and God is allowing something to happen. And I believe in these end times, it's going to happen even more, brother.
Hey, amen. This is such a worthwhile study. You know, I dare say that a large majority of those out there who call themselves Christians are still so simple-minded when it comes to the things of God that they have this pagan idea of angels, of beautiful women with fairy wings and long flowing dresses who stand on clouds and smear cream cheese on bagels. I mean, that's the kind of ideology that has been perpetrated on people by Hollywood and by television. Or you know, they just have no concept of what the Bible says regarding angels and their job and their purpose. So I'm excited, you know, that we're getting into this. Most people really have no idea what an angel is, and they don't, you know, they don't have an idea. They don't have an understanding that all angels are not the same, and that angels are never spoken of with female identity, only male identity. So it's just, again, it's just fascinating, brother. And we got about 2 minutes. If you got any thoughts on that before we go to break.
Well, it is fascinating, brother. It's fascinating. You know, angelology is a fascinating topic, the study of angels in the Scriptures. And too many people, pastors are not teaching this. They think, here's what pastors do today, which I find just sad. They'll send people off to Bible college and say, well, you learn about angels in Bible college. You learn about all the doctrines of the Scriptures from Bible college. How come pastors aren't teaching their people about angels? How come they're not explaining and teaching? I don't mean all of them, but there's a group of pastors, many pastors, most of them, aren't feeding. I'll tell you why. They're not studying. That's why. They're not reading the Bible. They're not studying. They're not searching the Scriptures to find answers for people to help them.
Right. That's true. That's true. I'll tell you, I did a little bit of digging on angelology and different things, but not as deep as what you're going here tonight. And I'm excited to hear the rest of it, and looking forward to learning, because I'm learning tonight, and I really appreciate what you're doing here, Brother Cooley. And I tell you, we're gonna go ahead and jump the gun, and go to break just a little bit early. That would give us a little more time on the other side. And let me throw that call in number one more time out there. If you'd like to call in, you're listening. Maybe you just want to sit back and listen. That's fine too. But our number to call in, 646-915-9266. One more time, 646-915-9266. We're going to go to break one last time, and the song again from the Seminole String Band, and this song's called You Don't Know, and there's a lot of things we don't know. We're learning tonight, so we'll be right back. Seminole String Band on the Old Paths Broadcast.
Troubles now before you are like mountains, but
Seminole String Band, You Don't Know It's Just Around the Mountain. Amen. Just keep on going for the Lord. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't let Satan have the victory in your life. Just keep on plugging for Jesus. God's going to give you the victory. Just stay with him. Amen. All right, we're going to get back into this. We took a break there just for a minute, and you wouldn't believe what we were talking about during the break. Amen. We got all off on Bigfoot and the creatures in the bottom of the sea. So anyway, folks, listen in tonight. We're trying to help you, trying to give you some insight into Scripture, trying to give you, get you a little learning, as they say down here in the South. And Brother Cooley, we left off. We were
Brother. I know that most. I know that most pastors would not even touch this topic or anything like that.
Oh no,
don't want people to make fun of them or anything else. But listen, I'm reading straight Bible here, and
Amen.
if somebody thinks that's funny or foolish or whatever else, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell them, because this is just straight Bible. And Daniel chapter 7, verse number 9, we're going to start getting into this. Now, we're going to start narrowing the scope here a little bit. I beheld till thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. Now, watch this. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. So we see that God's throne is like, it says here that his throne was like the fiery flame and his wheels as burning fire. Now, that wheels is going to be important. Now, in Isaiah chapter 6, we're not going to turn there, but there's a group of angels that you could study out there that are classified as seraphim. They're classified as seraphim. Now, those are with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he covered, I mean, it goes into all the wings that they have and everything else around the throne of God. Now, when we get to Ezekiel chapter 1, then we're starting to see that there's a group of angels called cherub. They're cherubim or cherub for short.
Uh-huh.
That's what they're called. And this group of angels is what we're going to focus on here with this study in Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse number 14. Verse number 4. Now, these are what I believe people are seeing. They might be people that some things that people are seeing out there, okay? They're seeing something.
Right.
And I want you to think about this. Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse number 4. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. There's that. Hey, remember those words? Hey, you believe in every word Bible, Brother Brandon, like I do.
Amen. I do.
Well, here we have, we're talking about an every word Bible here, and we're talking about a whirlwind that came out of the north. We just read a whole group of verses that continue to talk about a whirlwind that comes out of the north. I find that fascinating when we continue to look at that there's some things that don't go away. There's a whirlwind, there's clouds, there's fire. These things don't go away.
Right, and one thing I see here, brother, is, you know, somebody might bring up and say, well, you know, there was a whirlwind that took knocked down the house of where Job's children were in, and they say a whirlwind comes out of the north, but let's be honest. It's not talking about a tornado. Tornadoes is not what we're talking about here, because we're talking about fire.
Well, and if you understand anything about that story of Job, you understand that the devil sent that. That was God allowed that to happen, and the devil had that power to send that whirlwind and destroy his house. He was the one that did that. That only proves this,
right?
What I'm teaching right here even more.
Amen.
But anyway, so Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse number 4 says, And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding in itself. Think about that, a fire enfolding in itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Out of the midst of the fire.
So when I think about that, when it says a fire enfolding itself, I think of something. I think of, in my mind, a donut shape and the fire rolling back in toward the center.
Exactly. Something. You know, I have a horrible scientific mind when it comes to trying to picture things. So as I was reading this and I was studying this and there's a lot better. There's entire videos on this that explains this. You know, Pastor Mike Hoggard has a wonderful video that, I mean, it outshines what I'm doing here. This is just, you know, just a study here. But, I mean, he's got a great video that he has on that you can watch on the internet for 2 hours. It's on that, and he explains it very well, you know, in greater detail than what I'm doing here. I'm just taking scripture for scripture and going through it and showing you what the Bible says and saying, hey, you go home and you study it. You see what the Lord gives you from this. But there are cherub here are very interesting. Psalm chapter 18 and verse number 9. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He says here, he says here that he rode upon a cherub.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is describing God riding upon a cherub. This is explaining what most people would consider a UFO or something they're seeing in the sky. They're seeing something, a chariot in the sky. God said he used the chariots as angels. Which chariots? He explains it here. And he rode upon a cherub.
Right.
And did fly.
And let's remember something, that Lucifer was the anointed cherub.
There you go. That's where I was going next. That's right, brother. You caught on real quick there. That's exactly who he is. So before we explain this even greater, who do you think is doing, who do you think is up to the deception that's going on here? Who do you think is the one that's trying to make everybody think there's aliens flying around in little alien ships and not devils or fallen angels or the anointed cherub that covereth flying around?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You start to see this, all this satanic stuff come into play. It starts to make sense. When you understand this fourth dimension, you understand the four spirits that strove, you understand all of these different things that are going on, and then you understand Satan's point of view is always evil. He's always got something evil in mind. He always
right.
has evil intentions. That's what he does. That's who he is.
And he's always trying to mimic God.
That's right. In Ezekiel chapter 10, I think Ezekiel is a fascinating book. And if you'll study it out, if you'll read the Word of God, if you'll study Ezekiel, you'll learn a lot about angels. For some reason, God chose the book of Ezekiel to explain a lot of angelic things. Because
mm-hmm.
if you'll do a word search on cherubs, on seraphims, on all these other things, you will find angels throughout the book of Ezekiel here. Ezekiel chapter 10, I want to read that to you. Then I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them, as it were, a sapphire stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. And he spake unto the man clothed with linen, and said, go in between the wheels, even under the cherub, and fill thine hand with coals of fire from between the cherubims. and scatter them over the city. And he went in my sight. Now the cherubim stood on the right side of the house when the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of brightness of the Lord's glory. And the sound of the cherubim's wings was heard even to the outer court as the voice of the Almighty God when he speaketh. And it came to pass that when he had commanded the man clothed with linen, saying, take fire from between the wheels. There's Ezekiel's wheels again. Okay? Mm-hmm. From between the cherubims, then he went in and stood beside the wheels. And one cherub stretched forth his hand from between the cherubims under the fire that was between the cherubims, and took thereof and put into his hands of him that was clothed with linen, who took it and went out. And there appeared in the cherubims the form of a man's hand under their wings. And when I looked, behold, the four wheels by the cherubims, one wheel by one cherub, and another wheel by another cherub, and the appearance of the wheels was as color of beryl stone. And as for their appearances, they four had one likeness, as if a wheel had been in the midst of a wheel. So remember that fire unfolding that you talked about?
Mm-hmm.
Is the midst of a wheel inside of a wheel.
Right.
When they went up upon their four sides. They turned not as they went, but to the place whither the head looked, they followed it. They turned not as they went, and their whole body and their backs and their hands and their wings and their wheels were full of eyes round about, even the wheels that they four had. As for the wheels, it was cried unto them in my hearing, O wheel, and every one had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub, and the second face was the face of a man, and the third the face of a lion, and the fourth the face of an eagle. And the cherubims were lifted up. This is a living creature that I saw by the river Chebar. And when the cherubims went, the wheels went by them. And when the cherubims lifted up their wings to the mount up from the earth, the same wheels also turned not from beside them. When they stood, these stood. And when they were lifted up, these lifted themselves up also. Now, Brother Brandon, it says here, for the spirit of the living creature was in them. You have these wheels, Brother Brandon, and then you have the spirit of the living creature in the wheels.
Yeah.
That's how they move the way they do. That's how they can defy all gravity. That's how they can defy everything, because they're not bound by anything. A fourth-dimensional object is not bound by three-dimensional space. If they're not bound, and they move because the spirit is in the wheels.
Yeah, that's fascinating stuff. I mean, it goes beyond this brain's comprehension, truly, to try to picture what it's saying. And I've seen some crude illustrations, people trying to draw what Ezekiel is describing, but nothing really makes any sense. It's beyond our comprehension.
Right, it's that there's something going on there that gives a saucer-like impression that is there, but something like that because of the wheels,
mm-hmm.
And the wheels are important. It's an important description of what this really is. And then the cherubim come in here. Then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubims. And the cherubims lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight when they went out, and the wheels also were beside them, and every one stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the Lord God of Israel was over them. Now, we see here in Ezekiel chapter 10, we see the wheels here. Now, we also see the wheels back in Ezekiel chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
When he first saw these wheels, we see them also. In Ezekiel chapter 1. And what we find out is that there's four creatures. There's that number four again. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding in itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber, and out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst of the fire there came the likeness of the four living creatures. There's that number four again. There's the four faces. and their feet were straight feet. He again talks about their wings. He talks about the likeness of their faces. We don't have time to get into that tonight, but that's a whole other story right there. But it says
fascinating to me.
It is fascinating. There's something going on there that we don't have time to cover, but it's big and it means something. And they went out straight forward. Whither the Spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. Watch this now. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Brother Brandon, I want you to picture in the sky. I want you to picture the fire unfolding in itself. I want you to picture a wheel. Now I want you to picture the fact that this thing moves as fast as lightning.
Mm-hmm.
It has spirits of lightning across the sky. You have fire and you have lightning across the sky. So 1 second you see it over on your left hand, and then it zips across the sky as fast as lightning across the other side.
Right.
Now,
yep.
We understand that there are people that describe seeing this very thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying they're correct. I'm not saying that some of them aren't embellishing some things. But, you know, Brother Brandon, when there is thousands of people across the world that see the same thing over hundreds of years, over 100 years' time, or over 50 to 75 years, more accurately speaking, something's going on. They're seeing something.
Right. And Hollywood has latched upon this idea, and made demonic movies and television shows and I'm sure that because Satan is in control of the movie industry, he is in control of the television industry. You know, because of that, he has perpetrated this illusion of space creatures and spacemen in order to take away from God's word, because that's his purpose. And I assure you, he does not like us digging into the word and bringing to light these things, because it discredits him. And so, yes, I mean, what I'm getting from this, brother, when we're reading this, we're describing what God's cherubims can do. But I wonder to myself, what people have seen all these last 7,500 years. I mean, are they seeing God's cherubims zipping across the sky, or are we seeing fallen cherubims that are zipping across the sky? And
you are seeing what? Go ahead.
Does it matter which is which? And does it matter whether we know which is which? I mean, the fact of it is, it describes something that cannot be described. Your thoughts? I mean, I sound
brother,
like I'm rattling on.
No, you don't. It's just you're trying to wrap your brain around all of it, and I am too. Being three-dimensional beings as we are, it's hard to understand the spirit world. It's hard to understand this. But I will say that the Bible explains that there is a satanic delusion that is coming upon all the earth. And there's a kingdom that is arising, a fourth kingdom that is arising, and it's the Antichrist kingdom that's going to come, and it's going to cover the whole earth. And he will have dominion in this earth. God said that there would be signs and wonders in the heavens above and in the earth beneath. And that he said that there was going to be a lot of activity that was going to take place. And I believe that Satan is the anointed cherub that covereth. I believe that some of these people are seeing spiritual things that are happening, they're seeing things that are manifesting themselves in the fourth dimension, or in our dimension, from the fourth dimension. I believe that these things move the way they do because they move the same way what people describe as UFOs that they see out there. They move the same way as what the Bible describes here about these chariots. They move the same way. So the thing that we have to understand is that Satan wants people to fall for this alien trick, because it masks him. It hides him. Satan can hide in this alien thing. He can hide in that, and nobody will believe it. Because if Satan is real, if he is real, then God Almighty is real. And the
right.
Word of God is real. And we need to have faith in Christ Jesus and repent and believe the gospel and be born again. And understand
Amen.
that satanic deception is coming across the whole earth. And we need to understand that. It's important that we do. And it's important that we understand that there are spiritual things. There are things going on in this world right now that are from a spiritual world. That Satan is always at work. He hasn't lost any power. Some folks think that Satan has lost power. My friends, don't you ever be deceived in thinking that the devil has lost 1 ounce of his power. He is the god of this world, and he is doing things supernaturally according to the course of this world, according to the end times that are upon us. He's doing those things right now, and he's deceiving the masses. Aleister Crowley was a Satanist. Aleister Crowley contacted the spirit realm. He contacted Lamb. They called it the fourth dimension. They called it the contacting aliens or UFOs. What it really was contacting devils at a different world, a different realm, a spirit realm.
That's right. Yeah, Satan plays hide and seek, and that's why we call this satanic deception. That's why this whole series has been on satanic deception, because Satan wants to hide himself. That's why it's called Mystery Babylon and Mystery Religions. It gives you just enough intrigue to get you following away from God. That the whole secret societies, that's what it allures them in, with promises of power and promises of prestige, and lures them away from the Word of God and away from Christ. And the movie industry lures people away from the Bible and truth, and the music industry lures people away, and all these things. Satan, he lures you and then he hides. He lures you and then he hides. And that's exactly what this is doing with the UFOs. It's just luring people away from the Word of God to believing a lie, and that's what he is. He's the father of lies. When he speaketh of a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's the liar from the beginning. He's the father of lies. And again, we're just exposing the fact that he is such a liar, and people need to wake up and realize what's going on around him.
Amen. That's exactly right, brother. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We are in a battle with the spirit realm. We are in battle with satanic forces and people. You know, far too long have Baptist preachers stopped preaching about this, and fundamentalist preachers have not preached about this. And you know what? It's to their demise, because their people are being consumed by wickedness and satanic deception. No, they may not believe in aliens, but you know what? You're not preparing them. They're out watching movies and things on television that no man should be watching, no Christian man should be watching, just wickedness that is all over the place.
Amen. We got any more scriptures on this, brother? Or do we finish them all?
Well, actually, in Ezekiel chapter 3, there's a few more. It says, I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touch one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and the noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to the captivity of Tel Aviv that dwelt by the river of Chebar, and I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. I find it fascinating that the Spirit took him up, and he heard a voice of a great rushing saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from this place. Ezekiel was taken up, and he was seeing these living creatures, and he saw the creatures. And you know what? God flung him back home and took him home, and he sat there. And, you know, I think it's fascinating that Ezekiel sat there for 7 days, and he was astonished. He didn't know what to say.
His mind was blown.
Exactly. Now, he's seen that. You and I are trying to understand it from the Word of God. So if Ezekiel was astonished after seeing it and his mouth was left open for 7 days, I mean, you know, I'm speaking, you know, in language that we can understand here, but
right.
You know, he was just awestruck. He was astonished by it. What do you think it's going to do to you when you and I try to just understand and grasp this? Right. I don't expect everybody just to embrace this or anything like that. I expect you to go home and study the Word of God and see what the Bible says about this, and you'll find a fascinating thing here. I would encourage you to listen to all three sermons I have on aliens, Aleister Crowley, and UFOs. I've got three different messages on that. Listen to those and all of them and get an understanding of this spirit realm, the fourth kingdom, the fourth dimension, all those other things. You know, get an understanding of that. And then it won't sound like, oh, man, he's just coming out of left field. What's wrong with this guy? No, I just took Bible tonight. I didn't give you anything else. I just gave you a bunch of Bible tonight and said, go home and study it now. Get in the Scriptures, listen to this over again, and study it.
Mm-hmm. You know, just looking at those verses in Ezekiel 3, you know, and I'm reading verse 13. I mean, again, he's almost, it sounds like he's describing, well, I mean, I guess he is. He rode on top of one of these cherubim. Because he said, he heard the noise. He heard the noise of the wheels. He heard the noise of a great rushing. It lifted me up, took me away. And he said, I went in bitterness. I'm assuming it was not pleasurable. It was quite an experience. When he says I went in bitterness, I don't think he was mad at God for taking him somewhere. I think he said in the heat of my spirit. I don't really truly understand that, but other than to say that it was a very harrowing experience, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. God had me is what he was saying, sounds like to me.
Amen.
So quite an experience. So, you know, and another thing that intrigued me was those four spirits that, you know, the one was a black horse, one was a red horse, one was a white horse, and one was a grizzled bay horse. It kind of sounds like the four horsemen of the apocalypse in a very, very close manner there.
Amen. Those four beings are going to come into play again. We'll talk about them sometime and really explain those in detail. The four faces, the four winds. Ezekiel talks about Ezekiel's bones. Remember that? That talks
mm-hmm.
about
oh, yeah.
There's four winds. There's four winds that come on those bones that cause those bones to live. Son of man, shall these bones live?
Mm-hmm.
That's an interest. That's another topic that we don't have time to cover tonight, brother.
Right. Amen. Yeah, there's a lot to that number four in the Bible. There really, truly is. And it's been a fascinating show, brother. It really has.
Amen, brother.
And I hope, if nothing else, folks, it caused you to think and it caused you to see the Word of God with a new fascination. Maybe that a lot of times we read the Bible and we're prone to read the same passages over and over. Mostly because we don't understand some of the things that we're reading because we don't dig. And I encourage you to dig into your Bible and ask God's Holy Ghost of God the Holy Ghost of God to guide you as you read. Pray as you read. Brother Cooley, we're going to run out of time here. I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you and what a good show it's been. And thank you. Thank our listeners out there. And we'll see you next week, brother. We look
Amen,
forward
brother.
To it.
Thank you. Thank
Amen.
You, brother. I love you.
Love you too, brother. God bless. I just want to say, all of you, let God be true, but every man a liar. Brother Brandon T., Brother Jason Cooley, we're out of here. We'll see you next time on the Old Pass Broadcast.